Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Big Interview Bite Size. I'm Graham Hunter, and in each episode, you'll hear an elite footballer tell a story that's guaranteed to brighten your day. All of them come from my podcast, The Big Interview with Graham Hunter, which you can find by searching on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the end of primary seven, my dad came over to pick me up one day for school, and he had two season tickets in the glove compartment. You know, he had a letter, in fact, addressed to me, and he said, "You get a letter through." I'd never received a letter in my life, so I opened it, and it was a season ticket. So the first season I had a season ticket was in 97-98 season, when Celtic stopped to 10 in a row. So my brother...
Is that the Wim Jansen year?
Aye. Oof. My brother had been through the whole 9 years of Rangers dominance, and I rocked up right at the end, one season, won the league in my first season.
Who was your best player then? I mean, yours, not Celtic.
Well, that was early Henry Larsson, when it was Larsson's first right? season. So
was Wim Jansen responsible for recommending Larsson? Or,
no, Jansen.
He'd come from Feyenoord, hadn't he?
Jansen bought Larsson. 650,000, something crazy anyway.
He'd fallen out with Feyenoord. It was a tribunal. You can't believe it now, can you?
Because remember my dad, that was his... He goes, my Uncle George to say they were signing some guy, Larsson. My dad recognised the picture of him.
Seriously?
For the USA 94 World
Cup.
And I think Larsson, I don't know if he didn't have a great tournament or something.
There were, if you remember, I was at that tournament, they were a really functional team and they were tall and athletic. And he ran around massively. His hair was long and mental and maybe like it was. They finished third, you know, so they won the third, fourth playoff.
Maybe my dad paints it as he had a worse tournament than he did, because older guys, my dad's get a sort of built-in resistance to anybody with a flamboyant haircut. So maybe that went against his USA 94 appraisal. But my dad's words were, "Larsson, is that wee diddy for Sweden?" That was his wee diddy for Sweden. That's what he... I don't know if you remember Larsson's debut. He came on against Hibs at Easter Road, and it was his slack pass that put Chick Charnley through in goal. Charnley scored. Larsson was at fault. And then we played Dynamo Batumi. In the home leg, Larsson scored an own goal. I think that was his second game. So he'd... Chick Charnley, they'd set him up for that goal and scored an own goal. So my dad was, he's wee daddy for Sweden. I was
dying. I called it, son.
And then obviously the next 7 years reversed that.
What did you think of Larsson, apart from the obvious and the goals?
I thought he was alright, aye. No, he was the best I've ever seen.
I asked because I was leaving to go to London 2 weeks after he signed, or 3 weeks after he signed. So we interviewed him, and I didn't really see him again until he moved to Barcelona. So I didn't live in Scotland for all the time that he was King of Kings. And I was shocked that he took the Camp Nou by storm. And even in the days of Ronaldinho, whatever, when he left the Barcelona pitch as a, coming off as a substitute, when he came on as a substitute, nobody, Eto'o, Rivaldo when I'd been there, Ronaldinho, nobody got a throatier, bigger roar of not just, "You're good, we love you, we believe in you." Henrik Larsson played a bit part at Barcelona. The level of affection for him was just out of... And I'm asking about...
It was a horrible... That day he left, I think it was Dundee United, the last game, and they'd done the lap of honour, projectile tears. I remember it just... See that wee...
I've never heard that expression.
See that wee emoji, wee emoticon guy that you type when you're laughing, the wee yellow guy with the blue tears. Like that, except for no... Laughter, it was brutal. it was a deep sense of loss about that day, that his last game.
It is physically and emotionally painful when you lose somebody that important to you from a football club.
He could have played anywhere. I don't think anybody was, no Celtic fan was surprised when Larsson went on to like have a pivotal performance, come off the bench in the Champions League. And he set up Belletti, didn't he?
At Paris, yeah.
Even was Henri came out at the end and said, and he played for Arsenal in the final, obviously, but he said, tonight I never seen Ronaldinho, I never seen Deco, I never seen Eto. I only seen one man make a difference, and that was Henrik Larsson. An iconic figure, and because he could have went to any club, but he stayed with us for 7 years, and you're never going to see that again. A guy who's going to come to Celtic and play even one season anywhere near the level of Henrik Larsson, he'll be off to West Brom or somewhere like that.
Because of the money,
aye, but Larsson could, I'd imagine he was still getting weighed. Celtic could have paid a lot higher back then, but...
But they also incentivised him to stay.
He could easily have moved on.
They put a golden goodbye at the end of the contract, which is why he stayed, and it was very, you know, it was lucrative for him to stay, but...
Don't say that, Graham.
Now you're through your pain.
Don't you hear that?
No, seriously, now you're through your pain.
No, but I'd like to think...
Should he have left earlier? Right, I'm asking you...
For his own
football
ambition.
Kevin. No, not on Henrik Larsson's behalf. You've got a football appreciation and brain and appetite that's beyond being a Celtic fan. Van Bronckhorst was always telling him, not just come here, go, you should be somewhere else. What, retrospectively, do you still think you made the right choice?
When you look at that Seville year, when we got to the final against Porto, Larsson's performance that night.
It was off the scale, wasn't it?
So his ambitions, I don't think anybody can question that you should move on. Fair enough, people will be saying that to him, because he could have played for any club. But I think he had a vision for Celtic that obviously the people that could make that happen never had. For Martin O'Neill and Henrik Larsson and that squad, I think Seville should have been a starting point. Mm-hmm. We could have really built on that team. That's probably the closest my age group will ever see to what could have been. The Porto team won the Champions League the following year.
They did, with very little retouches.
The Liverpool team, we beat 2-0 at Anfield, they won the Champions League 2 years after with very little touches as well. Mm-hmm. So I think Larsson was right to stay because great things could have been achieved at Celtic.
It's a brilliant, brilliant answer.
I used to go to the games, used to be sitting, and no matter what was happening or who you were playing, you're still just going to Henrik's on, it'll be alright. Yeah. It's like being out with your mental pal. Nobody's going to start with you. I'm probably the only guy that's got his autograph on a first bus all day ticket. There we go.
Queuing up the car park.
We're up to collect tickets. One day, me and my mate Tony, like, dogged the last two periods of school on a Friday. Went up and the team were just leaving. Like, they'd trained at Celtic Park that day. So we're sort of hanging about and we've seen a bit of commotion. It was Larsson, so the two sprinted right up. But we never had pens or you never had smartphones at the time. All I had was my first bus all day ticket, Clyde Bank to Parkhead. So I was going, you know, the way they just grab one pen and just sign everybody's autograph with the same pen. I'd handed it the all day ticket and he sort of looked at me because he had a marker pen. And a first bus all day ticket's pretty narrow. So he had to lean on his jeans, but they were light blue jeans and a tiny bit of the ink went off the all day ticket and onto his blue jeans. I remember I was stomach churning. I was like, Henrik, I'm so sorry. As if I'm ready to offer, like, I'll go to D2 and I'll buy you a new pair of jeans.
Can you afford a new pair? Because I'll find the money somehow.
He looked at me and he was more, this wee guy took this pretty bad because I was quite a nervous wee guy. And he goes like, it's okay. And he gave me my all day ticket, so we're trying to get back on the bus. But Larsson had obscured the date. So the driver's not letting us on. And my three pals, Tony and the other two, they're going, it's Henrik Larsson's autograph, mate. As if, like, you need to let him on. And the driver's going, Larsson, he's shite, I'm a Rangers man. So we're going, mate, come on. He was only obviously having a joke and he waved us on. But
only in Glasgow.
It was the way my pals rounded round me, as if it should have been... It's Henrik Larsson.
Are you serious? Come on.
As if that's valid for
a week.
What
are you talking about? We should be able to drive it home. Let Kevin in the driver's seat, man.
It's a
joking.
Pass, man. So I've still got it somewhere.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.